Does your business specialize in kitchen and bath remodeling? Studio 41 is your complete kitchen and bath resource, now featuring the bold look of Kohler. We work with you, providing the service and support to help you get the job done right. Visit a showroom or find us online at shopstudio41.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Brian Urlacher.
Brian, you also were here at a time we could be frustrating watching your offense play or having the quarterback position be kind of unstable. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. It looks like Trubisky took a step this year. What did you see that convinces you that, okay, this is a guy that you can trust moving forward? Yeah. This is the answer to the question that's been there for a long time.
I mean, aside from his play, which I'm a huge fan of the way he plays, the way he handles himself, you know, you watch all of his interviews and win, lose, whatever. He's the same, man. So when they win or when they lose, he always talks about what he can do better. What I didn't do. I could have done this. I could have done that. And he never talks about his teammates in a bad light. It's always, man, the receivers did this. I have to do this better. The O-line was doing this. I need to do that better. It's never me, me, me. That's the guy I want leading my team.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
/future.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. The Wolves are home Saturday and Sunday against Central Division rivals. Saturday is Wolves Tote Bag Giveaway Night, courtesy of Pet Supplies Plus, and Sunday receive a free GameWorks gift card. For more information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Cubs leader Anthony Rizzo is excited about the different approach that the club is going to get this season from their lame duck manager, Joe Maddon.
I love Joe. Joe's created a culture here that can't be beat anywhere in the league, in my opinion. I'm obviously biased because I play for the Cubs, but I think Joe, when Joe talks, it's great to listen to him because he has so much knowledge. And he's told me and told us he's going to be more active, which we're going to love because he has so much knowledge.
MLB insider Ken Rosenthal says the White Sox remain a strong factor in the market for Manny Machado. The Cardinals have shut down starting pitcher Carlos Martinez for 2 weeks to strengthen his shoulder. The two-week window for NFL teams to apply franchise and transition tags begins today. Bears defensive backs Bryce Callahan and Adrian Amos set to become free agents. The AAF missed payroll in week one. Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon invested $250 million to save the league. And three Big Ten games tonight in college hoops. Purdue visits Indiana. Iowa looks for their fifth consecutive win when they face Maryland. Penn State hosts Nebraska. Join the Score's Jay Zawoski on Friday for a Blackhawks watch party. Stop by Old Town Pub and Eatery in Geneva from 6:30 to 8:30. To meet Jay, watch the game, and enter for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming game. Brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. I'm Joe Ostrowski. Ski, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by the Chicago Golf Show, featuring special guest Robbie Gold. For tickets, go to chicagogolfshow.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
All 29 of the teams are on my list.
Everyone's on the list.
I don't have a preferred destination. Like I said, I just want to win. You know, they ask me big market, small market. I don't care. You know, I want to win. You know, and obviously whatever team, you know, I get traded to, you know, play for it that year or whatever. If I get traded, I'm not sure. But just make the best of it. And then, you know, when free agency comes, see what happens. You know, I can't tell the future, but all 29 teams are on the list.
Middays on The Score.
I kind of don't exactly believe
not
you.
Every single one.
No.
All 29.
No. I think that somebody told him that it might be better business to open it up a little bit. That's Anthony Davis, obviously the center of much of what was going on over the weekend. Here to talk about that and more is a man you find on Twitter at Vince Goodwill, because he's Vincent Goodwill, Yahoo's senior NBA writer. What's happening, Vinny? How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Wonderfully. The Eastern Conference is where the action is, I think, for the last couple months of this regular season. But does it, in coming out of that Eastern Conference, have teams done enough? Have the Sixers done enough to fight with the Warriors when we eventually get our NBA Finals that we're all waiting so patiently for?
I don't think there's a Kevin Durant that grows on a tree that can be the equalizer for any of these teams. I do think that people are selling anybody that comes out of the East a little bit short. and I'm sure you guys in Chicago can relate, and I know it was a long time ago, but go look at those Bulls championship runs. Whenever they were going for three straight, that was the toughest final. That was the toughest, you know, conference final series, because it takes a lot to keep going to that well time after time again. Now, I'm not saying one of these Eastern teams is going to beat Golden State, but I do think that Milwaukee and Toronto and Philly and Boston have done enough to basically put them on a level where they can say, all right, we're in game six against the Golden State Warriors. And whether we're down 3-2 or up 3-2, but that's where we are. And I think if you can say that, you know, that's where a series should be or could be, I think basically that's all you can ask for.
How interested should a team be in trying to pull a Paul George? Like, what would it take for a team's management group to be right now, look, we're going to make a move for AD. He's going to like it so much here that we are going to convince him. We're so confident in who we are and what we do. Because, look, ownership matters. Management matters. Do you think there's a team out there that is going to say, we're going to make him love us?
I don't know if there's a team out there, but I would say, considering how scared of a league or risk-averse this league, you know, has traditionally been, you know, I would be one of those guys, if I were in somebody's front office or management group, I would be saying, hey, why can't we make a move for this guy? And just to say, and look, I don't think he was lying when he said he's open to 29 other teams. He's talking about he's open to being traded to 29 other teams, not signing with 29 other teams. I think you have to be open for that. You're not going to block a trade to one place or another. I think he's open-minded in that way of at least, you know, trying it out, seeing exactly how it's going to play, and then making his decision. If he's going to leave, he's going to leave anyway. The problem is, if you're one of these other teams, there's only so much you have in the way of assets. There's only so many decent players you have, so many draft picks you can offer, that Anthony Davis is going to be leaving the situation and walking right into the same exact, you know, locker room where there's players in there who aren't as talented as he is, or at least no one up to par that can say, I can at least get you to the second round of the NBA playoffs. That's mm-hmm. why I think realistically there's only a handful of teams in Oklahoma City who's lucky, because they had competent front office and they had Russell Westbrook who could basically scare Paul George into staying.
Talking basketball with Vincent Goodwill. He is at Vince Goodwill on Twitter. He's Yahoo's senior NBA writer. What from the NBA All-Star game mattered most? What one thing that didn't have to do necessarily with the hooping actually mattered to you? Was it Kyrie watching the entire acceptance speech at the end of things, Dirk hitting a couple of three-pointers? Was there one thing, one storyline that really mattered to you, that spoke to you more than anything else?
I'm not a huge sap in that way, but I'm also not a huge conspiracy theorist that just says, you know, because Kyrie and KD were in the back hallway, you know, talking and spending a few moments together, that was some type of sign. So I'll honestly say the stuff with Dirk and Dwayne Wade was honestly kind of, I would say, touching, because so many times when guys are considered to be washed, you know, we forget about them, we forget their contributions, and the game has changed in all these different ways, that those two guys are basically sort of pioneers in a certain way. I don't put much stock into Kyrie watching Kevin Durant's acceptance speech or Kevin Durant winning the second, you know, All-Star MVP and all these other type of things. I think we've known, you know, for a while now how great Kevin Durant is, or at least to some degree with Kyrie, what his options are. I didn't have to see anything else. But just to see, you know, the history being honored, there were times throughout the night where Bill Russell was honored, Magic Johnson was honored, and things like that. And I think the NBA does a really good job of embracing the guys who sort of paved the way. I'm just glad it did not take a long time for them to do that for Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. They actually gave them their rules while they were still playing. And that doesn't, I know that doesn't mean anything in the future, but just saying, you know, just the way that the league comports itself and the way the league behaves relative to other sports leagues in that way, you know, I find that pretty remarkable.
We were looking at some of the television numbers recently that are down across the board. A lot of reasons for this. And as we discussed several weeks ago, it may simply be that LeBron James is not on TV early and that he's on TV too late now because of where he is. And it makes that big a difference. But the Bulls numbers are way off because there have been eyes on them even when they had been bad. But that's not the case now. Do you think that there are any warning signs with some of these stars retiring, with a lot of future Hall of Famers closer to the end than the beginning, with all of the money that has been pumped into this? Do you think that there is a what did Mark Cuban like to say, that pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered? Is the NBA wary of some large scale business headwinds?
I don't know if they are, but I will say they would be wise to take a lesson from the NFL in that way, where ratings were high and the warning signs were around, but the money kept coming in, the revenue kept coming in, and they kind of just looked at it as carcass on the side of the road, because despite all of those things that were the evidence that was in their face, you know, the immediate dividends were still paying off. I think the NBA is a little more, I won't say paranoid, but they have to be a little more aware, because they're not that ingrained into the American consciousness the way that baseball used to be, the way that the NFL appears to be right now, even despite its issues. You don't put that much stock into early season ratings, honestly, guys, because and you can almost draw it to fewer people were watching the NFL last year, and those numbers came back to a relative order. Maybe they were watching more of the NBA. I would say I pay far more attention to the numbers from this point on to June. It's a playoff sport. They want to do, you know, the TNT promotion, 40 nights of basketball, 40 days, 40 nights, that type of thing. If those numbers are coming up short, then you got something. But because you talked about it earlier, Boston's going to be a premier team. Philadelphia, Toronto, it's maybe not Toronto because they don't register, but when you have the Northeast Corridor in the Nielsen rating, so to speak, when you have those teams being relevant, I think that means something. And if LeBron is in the playoffs, that doesn't hurt either.
Do you think that any of that, the flagging ratings early on, even though you said you expect things to pick back up, do you think any of that has to do with Adam Silver's foray into sports betting, or is that just a good business practice and good speculation of where markets are headed?
Well, I would say if anything would be affected by that, the numbers would go up, because I think people are obsessed with the thought of gambling. I don't think people are watching less because they could go into gambling. I think people would wind up watching more. You know, I'm not a ratings expert. I don't know exactly the trends. I don't have a Nielsen box, you know, in my home. And it's funny that, you know, we give these pollsters basically so much country to some degree, and, you know, determining how many people are watching relative to actually measuring how many people are really watching. So I do think that they're trying to be forward thinking as far as new streams of revenue. You know, if you look at some of the league pass things, they're trying to give the a la carte situation and everything else. Like, they're not resting on their laurels in that way. So I would say less than the NFL, there's not that organizational arrogance that the NFL has that the NBA shouldn't have. So I think they're always wary about some doom coming around the corner. But if you look at it, I don't think people are saying, I'm not watching the NBA anymore. And if they really are, that they're lying.
We always like to look at a conference-less playoff system. If we